This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis.
Hello. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon. Whatever it is for you. Happy Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day it is that we're actually ending up releasing this episode. I hope everybody's been good. Took a week off last week because it's summer and I'm tired. And I don't always feel, you know, honestly, like I love doing the interview part of it so much. But the part that I hate is this part right here is just like sitting down, doing not necessarily this part, I guess this part's fine. But sitting down, getting the intro done, the outro done, and then sending it to Ethan. I know anybody else that has a podcast and edits their own is probably just like, Adam, stop being a bitch. Like you have somebody that edits it for you. Well, I do, but it's also like, you know, you got to put it all together. I lay it all out for them and then I send it to them, and that's really all it takes. I really need to get on my editing game a little harder for sure. I keep saying I'm gonna, and I keep not doing it. So I'm gonna the plan is for winter season to do that. And hopefully I know it's going to end up taking me way longer, but it's all good. This episode is with last year's guest of the year, which is Jay Knox, if you didn't see it on the gram when it was going on. Awesome dude. He is an entrepreneur. He's a sales rep. He's a mountain biker. He's a snowboarder. He's a content creator. He's just a great dude. I've known him for a while now, and this is like the follow-up to our conversation. We got him a little trophy. So I got him that thing, and for episode of the year, and we just talked. We talked about some stuff that's been going on the past season, some of the crazy experiences that he's had, the event that was upcoming that has now passed, the Cliff Bar Fox U.S. Open of mountain biking, the slope style, which was incredible. It's absolutely incredible to watch those guys go at it. It's really, really a sight to see. To see how top level these athletes are. Jay Knox was one of the organizers there. Overall, this was a great episode. And I really, really enjoy talking to this dude, hanging out with this dude. So I think you guys will enjoy this episode. Before we jump into it, this episode is sponsored by Burn Helmets. You can get yourself a new lid by using promo code OUTOFBOUNDS to save 15%. They have all kinds of helmets. They do like the old school, not old school, I guess, but the kind of old school. I mean, 10 years ago when nobody wanted to wear a helmet, there was one company that had a helmet that looked cool. I mean, it was that Burn Baker. Like that helmet looked cool. Like it straight up just looked cool. So they have a full range of helmets, for winter and for summer. For summer, I'm riding the FL1. Which is their cross-country helmet. I've been running it with MIPS, so it's got that concussion risk-reducing technology is basically what it is, because it's not concussion preventative. Nothing really is concussion preventative, but it definitely, it basically moves in the same way your brain would move in the event of a crash. So MIPS is a super important technology. A lot of companies have their own version of it now, but MIPS is the original, and you can get that in a Burn helmet at 15% off at burnhelmets.com. We are rolling up to ski season, snowboard season pretty soon. And I think that's, might be a good time to get yourself a lid before the season starts. Like I said, burnhelmets.com, promo code out of bounds. One last thing before we get into the episode, if you can leave us a review on iTunes, that helps a ton. And follow us on social media if you don't already. It's just at Out of Bounds for all social media. I'm trying to use Twitter more. I'm going to be on the YouTube thing with some gear review pretty soon. So look out for that. In the meantime, we have three episodes coming out this week. Three as long as I stay on my game here. But three episodes this week is the plan. We'll have Jay Knox today. Tomorrow will be the crew from Mountain Outfitters Breck. Or Jeff from Mountain Outfitters Breck. Which was fucking awesome. That's like kind of a gear talk, shop talk episode, and it was awesome. I seriously, seriously enjoyed that one a lot. And then we have a short episode at the end of the week with a gentleman from Powderhorn Trail Company, and you'll hear more about that tomorrow. I'll give you more details on it. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode with Jay Knox. Talk to you soon. Bye.
It's a weird thing. Like I
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah, but yeah, FOMO for not wearing headphones. I mean, these headphones are dope, but I mean, you definitely don't need them for anything. Yeah, nice. Yeah, these are the Hesh threes or something like that. Yeah, yeah, they're dope. Yeah, Joey hooked it up. He's the man.
He's a good kid.
So what's up, dude?
Not much, man. Good to be back on the show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry it's been so long.
No, that's okay. Thanks for having me. Place is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked to have you at the house. Check it out, you know. It's nice to be home for a few days and off the road, too. That's for sure.
Yeah, you've been on a tear, kind
of,
huh?
Yeah, all over the place. You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we always do Dirt Rag Fest right out of the gate, you know, in early May, mid-May. Kind of kicks off the year with big bike demo down there. And then as all the bike parks open, I start getting around to all the resorts for the MTB Parks Pass to make sure the resort staff is trained in how it works and all that kind of stuff, and take some pictures and do the deal on the bike parks and get the season going.
Right. So what is MTB Parks for people that don't?
So MTB Parks, we are a bike park locator. We're basically your online source for anything you need to know about bike parks in North America. You can go to our site. You can find out all the info on lift tickets, hours of operation, all that good stuff. And then we do a lot of marketing and advertising for the resorts, which allows us to sell a season pass that works at 35 resorts in North America right now.
Okay.
And you get one free lift ticket at every resort and then 50% off your return visits.
Okay. So 50% off is for like the rest of the season. So you're good. Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's kind of sick. That, like, I guess it kind of forces people to go everywhere if they want to get it for free, right?
Definitely.
Or for the cost of the pass or whatever. That seems like a good deal. How's it been working?
Good. Very good. Yeah. We've got some new partners coming on soon. We're going to make some announcements over the next week or two. And yeah, let's just hope the weather holds up and we don't float away soon.
No, I think we'll be okay. Look, it's looking pretty good. The whole bike park scene seems like it has a little more energy this year. At least for me. Like, I don't know. I'm more excited to go for sure.
It's growing by leaps and bounds. And the fact that you can ride, you don't have to ride a dual crown downhill bike at every bike park anymore makes it accessible to so many more people.
Yeah, I'm going to ride that fucking Trance later. You know, like, I mean, it's like a 29er cross country bike. You can ride that thing on whatever, you know?
I ride my Pivot Firebird everywhere, whether it's cross country or the bike park, and it's a single crown.
Yeah, I guess it's like, it's really what kind of bike, what kind of riding you want to do, and what you want to be good at, I guess, too.
A certain extent, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, some things are going to pedal uphill better, some things are going to pedal downhill better, or not pedal at all downhill.
That's true.
It's kind of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So how's riding been for you? Have you actually gotten on the bike, or are you just doing events?
Yeah, no, I've been on the bike a bunch. Been at a lot of bike parks. I mean, I've been at Highland a ton this spring. I was up at Suicide 6 a few weekends ago, which is a great place. They've recently opened.
Where is that?
It's in South Pronfit, Vermont, which I guess...
What?
Exactly. It's next to Woodstock, Vermont.
Okay.
So about 45 minutes or so from Killington.
Okay.
Yep. Rad little spot up there. Brooks from Sinuosity Trails actually built that place out. He's the guy who's building Stratton down the street here too.
Right.
So that place is a ton of fun. I was over at Wyndham. I've been over at Blue Mountain and the Poconos in PA. I've been at Mount Creek. I've been at Mount Snow. Been to Thunder. Been to Burke. A bunch of places so far.
Sick. You just did, what's it called? The
Nemba Fest.
That's what I almost called it Kingdom Fest, and I'm like, that sounds
it's at
wrong.
It's Kingdom Trails.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Nemba Fest is awesome. I mean, we probably had 5,000 to 6,000 people across the 3 days or so.
Right.
But big bike demo. Kingdom Trails is one of the best cross-country trail systems in all of America.
Right.
So everybody comes out of the woodwork, tests bikes, has some fun, and drink some beer, and it's a great weekend.
Everybody goes to that freaking thing on the East Coast. It's like you know what everybody's doing if someone rides a bike, pretty much. What do you do there? Like, what do you do there?
So I was there with Yakima and MTB Parks. So we are vendors at the event. So the consumer can come into our booth and they can talk to us about all the different rack products that Yakima makes, or the Skyrise HD tents that we have on the back of our trucks.
Yep.
And then I speak about MTB Parks as well.
Okay. Cool. Is it beneficial for you being at these events? I mean, you do a lot of them, so I'm assuming that these things are good for you.
It definitely is. I mean, it's about being in front of a consumer that you've never had the opportunity to speak with and educate them on your product that they may have never seen before.
Right.
So for me to have that opportunity to talk to a couple thousand people that have never seen MTB parks, or have never seen the Skyrise tent on the back of the truck, which a lot of people have never seen.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, that thing's pretty sick, huh?
It's awesome. I got the one I have is, it's a 3-person. It's got 3 inches of memory foam inside of it.
Yeah.
Almost 4 feet wide, almost 8 feet long. I mean, it's just super comfortable, fully waterproof. And I'm not on the ground.
Yeah, you're not on the ground. I think that's the big thing. There's a lot of that, like, ground sleeping business going on right now, and I don't really think that's the way to go. It's fucking bullshit.
Bugs,
it's
snakes,
it's fucking
water.
2019, right? Like, I mean, let's just not do this anymore.
Yeah.
yeah, it's fucking dumb. I actually am not a big camping person anyway. I'm not a fan of it. I think that there's hotel rooms for a reason. I think that there's couches for a reason. I think there's floors inside for a reason. I do like the whole outdoor, and I think there is something to be said for a good camp spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, something by the water, something nice, you're not getting eaten alive, or you are. I mean, it's not, that part's really not a sticking point for me, but it's just a thing that, like, at least in my area, when people are like, oh, we're going camping, it's like you go to a campground and you hang around in, like, the little city that the campsite has made for you, you know? And it's just not, it's like, that's not fucking camping, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
I know
that's
what you
not
mean.
The same thing.
You're not really out in the woods.
You're not really out in the woods. Like, if you're going to do it, like, you should probably do it all the way, right? Like, I mean,
agreed.
I think it's, I think it probably makes sense. But I guess there's stuff for everybody, right? I mean, there's got to be a reason that people do it. I'm sure people like it. Maybe it makes them feel more connected to being outside, and I guess that's a plus in itself. So,
yeah.
So what else is going on, dude?
Not much. We're getting ready to do the U.S. Open of Slopestyle at Highland this summer, which we're all pretty excited about.
Yeah.
It'll be the first time, man. Yeah, I guess it's the first time we've ever done a U.S. Open of Slopestyle here in the U.S.
Yeah.
We'll have 30 of the top riders in the world that are going to be up there from July 17th to the 21st.
Right.
And that's in Northfield, New Hampshire, for those of you guys who don't know where Highland Mountain Bike Park is. But it's an event where these guys are going to be doing some crazy freestyle tricks, you know, flips, whips, all that kind of stuff. But we'll have Carson Storch, Tom Van Steinberg, DJ Brandt, Chris Raber, Nikolai Regrakin, Simon Godjak, David Lieb. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
So crazy.
And I'm actually super excited that we're going to have you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have you doing some podcasts with a bunch of different athletes. We'll get probably the owner of Highland on there and the VP. And
cool.
Just a bunch of industry folks to give you guys an insight of what goes on to make an event like this come to fruition.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things, I think, for people to hear, too, because you hear about all these events that they do, and it's just not clear. I think people just think they happen, you know? Like, you just say, hey, I'd like to have an event, and then everybody comes, and everything's set up, and everything works out, and it's not how it works.
No, not at all, man. So I'm doing the activation space, the layout of where all the vendors will be.
Right.
And, I mean, I've been there once for 1 or 2 days a week, pretty much for the last 5 or 6 weeks, you know, just planning that. We're doing a whip off. There's a kids next generation race that we're doing. So there's a lot of things going on, and it's going to be pretty cool to have right here in the East, in New England, in New Hampshire.
Is the hill going to be open to ride?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sick.
We'll have YT there to demo bikes. We're working with another couple manufacturers, hopefully to get them there as well.
Sick. That sounds awesome. I'm super excited to be there. I'm excited to talk to people, obviously. I'm excited to ride bikes. I'm excited just to kind of hang around. I mean, just in that environment, I think those events are such a good time to be at. And it's pretty rare, I guess, that we see them on the East Coast to this level. And it'll be good to just kind of see everybody in one spot and just kind of see how an event like this kind of comes together. Yeah.
And this is the last chance for these guys to get points to actually go to Joyride at Whistler, which is by far the biggest version of this that we have. So we're really going to see some of the big hitters out there, which is cool.
Yeah.
And the boys are out there tuning up the slopestyle course right now. They're putting some new jumps in there. We'll actually have the airbag out for people that weekend too. So if you want to learn how to jump your bike, you can go flying into the airbag.
I don't. I think I'm good on the airbag.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a hard pass and watch really good.
hard pass.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely okay without doing that. I mean, it looks sick. It's got to be mildly safe, right?
Yeah. Mildly, I'd say.
Yeah. It doesn't.
That ramp, you know,
the ramp that you're coming off is not something that I would look at and go, wow, that seems like totally doable.
It's definitely 100% commitment.
Yeah, like what if you decide to bail?
you're getting hurt.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's no, like...
There's no in-between at all.
Yeah, like, there's got... How far is it from the end of the ramp to the airbag?
Oh, it's not, far at all. It's like 10 to 15 feet.
Yeah, but like if you just like...
But you have to be moving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even get to the top of the ramp.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm so out. I'm so out on that.
That'll be fun to watch.
I'm sure it'll be fun to watch. Yeah, I'm sure. And I don't want to see anybody bail, but if somebody bails, I would like to see how the trajectory of someone falling on something like... Not like I don't want anybody getting hurt. Like,
that would
be very clear. But I do... I would want to see how that actually plays out because... I can't even picture it in my head, you know, like coming to a, anyway, before somebody thinks that I want them getting killed.
Oh man.
That's no yeah, thanks. for sure. I'm out on that, but, well, that's awesome. I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be a really good event. But what else have you had going on?
How was winter? Winter was good. Winter was fun. We had the most insane November I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We got 3-4 feet of snow here where I live at Mount Snow, and we probably got 6 feet of snow at Stowe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were in the woods before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's never happened like that before.
You know, and it kept on for December and most of January. I think March was a little bit less than we all had anticipated, but...
Yeah, we were hoping for another miracle March. Like, last year's was excellent. This year's was...
It was awesome. It was... March is normally a great, great month, but you know what? If it's going to snow like that in November, December, and January... I guess I'm okay if it doesn't really go crazy in March.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm accepting it, but all right. I'll take your opinion on that. We'll table it for now.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. We spent a lot of time at Stowe this winter. A bunch of time in the Stone Hut.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you guys that aren't familiar with that, that's a Stone Hut that you can actually rent. It's behind the quad, the Forerunner at Stowe. It'll sleep about 12 people. There's no electricity, just a wood-burning stove. Bunch of bunk beds. You kind of get back to your roots and just hang out with your friends by the fire and play cards and actually talk to someone like we're doing now.
Right. You have a real conversation.
Yeah, exactly. There is a bathroom in the ski patrol hut, like another 100 feet outside the door. So it's not, you know, you're not like completely away from everything. But it's just a really unique experience to be on top of Stowe at night and to see... On a clear night, you know, what that place looks like, because it's just on another level being above the tree line and 300 inches of snow a year.
Yeah, I've heard it's beautiful. I've seen it, obviously, in the day. I've never stayed there. You know, I've heard the whole experience is great, though.
We're all putting in for it again for next winter, so we'll definitely keep posted on it.
Yeah, let me know. That sounds like a good time for sure. Yeah, you spent a lot of time at Stowe, huh? Like, definitely. I mean, it's like that's the hill on the East Coast.
Yeah, they just get... so much more snow than most places out there. And I don't know if it's because of Lake Champlain or because of the way the resort is situated and the notch there, but they just seem to get snow when nobody else is getting it, except for Jay. You know, right. It's kind of like that anomaly of Jay Peak.
Yeah, and I think Stowe's a different thing. I mean, it's deeper. It's just got a different pitch to it. It's fun. Like, yeah. It's fast and it's really, and super fun.
Really, really easy to get out into the backcountry, too.
Right. Yeah, you can literally just... You could even just do side country stuff. That's totally like even some of the shit that we did, where you're just like kind of skating out like far out and just kind of seeing what you can find.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, so what? Like, you got to hike a little. You got to walk a little bit, not even hike a little bit out. But I mean, it's so good. It's stuff that nobody else is really hitting.
We take it for granted, though, you know, because it is. It is, despite the fact that it is accessible right off the side of the resort. It is the backcountry, you know, and if something goes down, rescue could be 2-3 hours away, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a little incident in January, early January up there, actually the week before we rode.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing for me to talk about still, but this year is what we would call like a low tide and sharky year early season, meaning that we got a ton of snow, but the riverbeds didn't really fill in. There was still running water.
Right.
So those riverbeds got pretty deep and... I was cruising along in the notch with two of my buddies, one in front of me, one behind me, and I got snaked under the snow and kicked backwards into one of those riverbeds and got pretty much completely buried in snow. Feet above my head, neck pinned to the wall behind me. This is one that's not easy to describe, I guess you could say.
When you showed me like the motion that you were stuck, that was kind of like the best picture I guess, that you can get. Because so you kind of know that pinching feel. Like, everybody knows like what it feels like to be like... flipped over on a couch where your legs are like kind of like.
Yeah. So if you guys could kind of picture, you know, being flat on your back with your feet up above your head and you're still attached to your snowboard, that was how my legs were on one side of the wall of the gully. And the other side, my back was pressed against the, my neck was pressed against the wall and my chin was basically pinned to my sternum. And the snow caved in on top of me. So I was for 30 seconds to 40 seconds, just trying to pull snow away from my face and I could still see nothing but black.
Yeah.
At that point I kind of realized that this was more than just, I fell down in some powder and I needed to get my shit together because I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life there. So I pulled my neck, the neck of my jacket up and over my face to get myself some more air. Still couldn't get my face dug out of it in the long run. And I had to release the pressure on the back of my neck, which dropped me further into the gully and into the water. Mm. And it kicked me over just enough that I was able to roll over into that kind of reverse yoga position where you're pushing yourself up from the ground and your feet are pushed out behind you.
Yeah.
And clawing at that wall, pulling the snow down because it felt bottomless.
Yeah.
And I finally got enough snow down and packed down to get my head above the water, so to speak, to get my head above the snow line. And I mean, it was horrifying to say the least. That was the closest I've ever come to an asphyxiation or not walking away from a situation.
Right.
And it's messed with me pretty hard in the sense that I've had a lot of physical injuries.
Yeah.
Physical injuries have a time frame, you know, like we talked about with your knee.
Right.
Or with my clavicle, you know, it's like
right.
4 to 6 weeks, you had your surgery, you're going to be 50%. And then in 2 months, you're going to be 80%. And then in 3 months, you're going to be good to go. And you're going to be skiing or you're going to be biking. Like a mental injury, there's no time frame. There's no set. You're going to be fine at this moment, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, I got some help. I went to see a doctor, had some PTSD from it. I was waking up at night for the first month, just kind of clawing at my face, thinking that I was in that situation again. And it's been getting better every day, pretty much. And, you know, I was able to continue riding. I think that was one of the big things. I got right back on the horse because when we rode together at Stowe, that literally happened
like a week,
5 or 6 days before that. And I know that if I didn't get back on the horse, it wouldn't have gone well.
It's also you don't just want to think about it. You know, like if you just go right back into it, it's a little easier to just kind of put it off a little bit, you know? Like, and I think part of the issue that people have is like you have that issue, right? You go from like such a state of euphoria where like you're riding in pout, like we talked about earlier, right? Like you're riding in pout. It's like as good as things get, basically. You crash and you're just like, okay, whatever. And then like, as soon as you realize that it's serious, you go to an immediate state of panic, you know? And it's so hard. And everybody's always just like, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. But saying don't panic and like thinking don't panic is totally different than in that moment, not panicking. So I think that getting back on the horses, I always think that getting back on the horse is the right way to do it. Because if you don't, what's your other option?
Yeah, I'm not going to work in a cubicle, I'll tell you
that. Yeah, like, what's, he's like, seriously, even if you didn't, like, right? Even if you were just like, I'm just not going to snowboard and I'm just going to hang around snowboarding, it's the same thing, you know? Yeah. So it's a weird thing. Well, I'm glad you came out of it.
Yeah, me all too, right. Man.
Glad it's getting better.
It was quite the interesting experience, to say the least.
I think it's important for people to hear that other people kind of have these little, like, not little, but like experiences where they make it out okay.
Yeah.
Like, and just to kind of know what to do. Because even just small things like that where you're in the backcountry, like, and it's not a situation where you would normally think it's high danger of getting buried, you can get buried like nothing, you know? It doesn't take a lot.
Most people would never think that that could happen at Stowe where we were.
Yeah, exactly. In early season,
yeah,
right? Like, I mean, in what, November, December?
That was in the beginning of January.
Beginning of January.
Yeah, but that's still, technically January to me is still early season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or even middle of the season, it's the East Coast, right? Like, people don't get buried.
Yeah, we get that roller coaster in December still, so it's not really full on filled in everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it rained more in December than it did in
probably
October, you know? Like, it was like, it's what New England is, you know? It's on and off.
It's wild, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know? And I talked with my buddy Aaron Chase, my friend Billy Allen, who rides there a lot as well. And, you know, it was really good to have some friends that were very open, listened to me, talked to me, you know, helped me get through it, you know, and I thank those guys a lot because I did shut down a bit, and I'm sure some of you guys saw it on my social media. Like, I went from being super active to just slowing down for 2 or 3 weeks. And I even got some direct messages from people that had kind of heard through the grapevine, like, hey, like, what happened? Yeah. Are you okay? And I appreciate all of you guys so much. I thank you. And, you know, I feel bad about disappearing for a hot minute, but I needed to get my shit together. So to speak.
Disappearing is a good thing.
So, yeah. And it was, all in all, though, it was a great winter. It was a lot of fun. And, God, I mean, it was 100 to 117 or 118 days on snow.
That's a lot, man.
My last day was June 2nd at Killington, and I got to ride my mountain bike in the bike park the same day.
Yeah.
That never happened on the East Coast before. So no. Kudos to Killington for that one.
For keeping it open. They love to do that. They love to just keep it open, you know?
So. And dude, there were parts of that trail on Superstar, there was still 8 feet of snow on June 2nd. Dude. Like deep.
Yeah, I'm sure. Dude, there's a base. There was definitely a real base this year. And that was one of the good things to see. Even like, I mean, Tux is still, you can still ski Tux right now.
There's still spots out there
that are good. Like this dude, Kyle, that we follow on Instagram, like was posting, he's like shredding this like little line on Tux on Sunday. And it's like, I was riding on Sunday, you know? Like that's what you would expect people to be doing in fucking July.
Tell me about it, dude.
You know? But they're still skiing, even out west. I mean, like when I was in Colorado, it was like that was one of the options. Was like, all right, like if I can get gear in time and I can figure out a way to get it back to the shop, like we can go skiing. We can just go for a tour and go skiing somewhere. You know, like it's an option, which is cool. It's cool to see more and more people have backcountry or AT setups now.
Yeah,
I know we talked about this last time, but it's like that is growing more and more and more and more.
Definitely. It's way more accessible, way more cost effective.
It's fun too. It's like, and it's a workout. It's cost effective. It's workout. It's, you also feel a little more connected to what you're doing. Like sometimes I don't really want to stand in a lift line.
Oh, I agree with you, dude. That burns me out quick. And you know, and all these new season passes, the Epic Pass, the Peaks Pass are awesome. But as these resorts become more crowded, that's part of the reason why you're going to see these, you know, the touring go up and up and up on the weekends for sure. Cause people just don't want to wait in that line.
For sure. I think I literally skied one weekend day all season, you know, out of, I think I got 56 days in, which for me is like, I'm earning 56 days. It's hard to find 56 days.
Yeah. You were up there early splitting.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I got to get up there. I got to be like on the hill at 6:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And you start moving up to the top and then you leave and you go work at the shop at 9, you know, that's how it goes. But I mean, I'd rather do that than not go.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you.
So
it's more of an experience to me because you know, you're working for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You're working for it. And it's also like when the question is always like, is it really worth one run down? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, because you're beat at the top. You're like, this, so I want to do nothing more than go down. Like, it's the only thing in the entire world that I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Give me a beer, and then we're going down.
Yeah, and then it's like most of the way up, you're just like, I want to turn around now. I don't even want to go the rest of the way up. I just want to turn around now. Especially, like, if you're, like, going with a group or people that are faster than you or even, actually, it's probably worse if you're by yourself and you're just not pacing yourself correctly and you're, like, one little step at a time. You're just beating the shit out of yourself. That's just kind of how it goes.
Yep, definitely.
So, so what else is going on, dude?
So, I guess the other new thing, so shortly after we did the podcast last spring, I took an opportunity with a company called HM Nutritionals, which is a CBD manufacturer, to become a rep and a sales account. And it's been pretty awesome, to say the least. CBD has been a big help to me in my life.
Yeah.
I have a autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis, which is a white blood cell disease. So my body sends white blood cells to fight sickness, inflammation, whatever it is, just like everyone else's does, but it doesn't understand when to stop.
Yeah, so just keep going.
So it causes crazy inflammation all the time. So I was prescribed lots of naproxen, lots of ibuprofen, stuff like that to help fight all of that. And I just didn't want to take all those pills all the time anymore. So about 3 years ago, I started testing different kinds of CBD.
Yeah.
See if I could get off that naproxen and the ibuprofen and stuff like that. And I mean, I must've tried 7 or 8 different companies, to be honest with you, you know? And then I found Mount Mansfield Provisions, which is actually based out of the Burlington area. And I was using that for a long time. a friend of mine, Paul Yemenko, who you actually know, who's one of our fellow reps out there.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. He's an amazing dude. He's
the most energetic guy, like the most jovial character, I think.
Dude, nobody knows. He's the drummer for the Scandals.
Yeah, I saw that. I had no idea. It makes sense.
Rips.
Like, you look at him and you're like, yeah, that makes total sense. Like,
yeah, dude,
you
know. Just rips. But yeah. Great guy. So he reached out to me when he took an opportunity with HM Nutritionals because he knew that I had just some knowledge about CBD because I personally used it.
Yeah.
And he wound up bringing me on board. So we cover New England, pretty much Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all the way up to Maine as reps. And then I'm also an account because I have about 80 customers now, I'd say, in North America, friends of mine or friends through friends that are athletes that have issues that they need CBD. And I am by no means a doctor or a pharmacist by any means, but I can tell you what these people use it for and whether or not it helps them. And it does help the majority of them.
So what do people use it for? Because that's the thing with CBD, right? Like it's the hot new thing. It's like everybody has a podcast, everybody has a CBD, like, you know,
totally.
So it's like,
it's that's like the wild, wild west.
Right. So what's the difference, I guess? And what does it actually do? Cause it seems to be like this like magical thing is like the way they pitch it. You know, it's like it fixes everything.
Oh, literally, it's not an end all cure all. That's for sure. But I mean, in this situation, for what we're talking about for athletes, you know, for the inflammation side of things, it will really, taken in the right way, the right dosage or the right recovery balm or cream, it will really help keep inflammation at bay. It'll help lubricate your joints inside. Like, I don't take glucosamine anymore for my knees and shoulders and stuff like that. Some things that I didn't know that it was going to help me with was anxiety.
Yeah.
Help me with my sleep pattern. I used to be the guy that would sleep for 2 hours and wake up and then sleep for 2 hours and then wake up. And now I sleep about 7 hours a night, which is straight through.
Solid. Yeah,
exactly. Which is a huge difference than that 2 hour choppiness of sleep. It's actually made my eating pattern more regular too.
Okay.
Like, how so? I feel like I'm hungry at the same time every day.
Huh.
Like, I'm hungry at like 8:30 in the morning. I'm hungry at like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then I'm hungry at like 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And it's always the same.
Right.
So yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously the inflammation is why I started it.
Yeah.
And the other benefits have just come as we've gone along.
Right. Yeah. It makes it's crazy to watch how quickly, even since the last time we did this podcast, like how much more popular CBD is.
Oh man.
It's like blown the fuck up.
There's probably 600 CBD companies in the US at this time last year, and now there's over 1,200.
Yeah. There's gotta, I mean, it's
But the FDA is starting to step in and get involved. So I think they totally should. I agree. but I think that's gonna narrow the playing field a bit.
Yeah. You know, it should. I'm glad because there's like
we'll just get the boot right away, and so people can't afford to go through the process.
Yeah.
So
speak a little bit, I guess, to the different types of CBDs, right? Because there's a bunch of different kinds.
There's a bunch of different kinds. So obviously you have a hemp plant versus a marijuana plant.
Right.
And they both produce CBD. What we sell at Happy Mutant Nutritionals is THC-free CBD. So our CBD comes from a hemp plant, which only has 0.03% THC in it, which is not enough to get you high. There's no psychoactive in it or anything like that. And then we physically remove that THC.
Right.
Because our athletes need to pass drug tests. We need to not fail that thing and compete at the highest level possible. So that's one type of CBD. Then you have obviously your THC and CBD, which you can't really get in many states.
Right.
You know, because I mean, you're Colorado. There's a few states out there that you can get that stuff. And then there's also CBD isolate, which is where someone takes all the other pieces out of the plant and it's just the CBD.
Right.
So it's a multiple of different kinds, and it comes down to kind of figuring out what you're looking to benefit out of it.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of people that are looking to not get high in any way, shape, or form, and that's the majority of people. So that's why they'll go with a THC-free or they'll go with a hemp-based that has little to no THC in it, the legal limit, so to speak.
Yeah, what's the limit?
0.03%.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is really nothing.
And that's crazy that you could even fail a drug test for that, you know, for 0.0. I mean, maybe.
It'd have to be a pretty legit drug test. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It would have, they're like taking hair samples and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, sick. That's cool. How long? So you've been doing that for a little over a year then, I guess.
It's been just about a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's it been?
Like, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It's been cool to go into a different market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Paulie and I were actually at the Providence trade show with our product and stuff like that, yeah. Talking to retailers. And yeah, it's been a great roller coaster. It's been a good learning experience. And it's something that truly helps people. It's not like, oh, you need this extra pair of socks.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, you should buy these ski poles. Or, you know, like, it's not an accessory that you're giving them that could potentially... I'm sorry. It's something that you're giving them that can help potentially enhance their performance in the long run.
Mm.
Not just something that makes them look cool, like a t-shirt or a hat, you know what I mean? So that's been really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important. I mean, it's a nutritional bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's actually something that helps people. So I do think that that's an important part of the puzzle. And I think that's also an important part of what, like, it should be what people sell in the ski and snowboard and bike industry, because it's a thing that people actually need. Like you said, like, it's for athletes, you know?
So I saw a quote from Bubba Watson the other day, a professional golfer, and it was like, CBD in golf is a no-brainer. And that can pretty much apply to almost any physical activity sport, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about it all the time. I mean, the salve, like the rub, helps a ton when I'm like trying to get the swelling down in my knees, you know, like, it's seriously, like, it makes a noticeable difference in the way they feel and the way that, like, the swelling actually looks. Like, I mean, straight up just makes a big difference. So it's a good thing, man.
We make a pretty cool product at HM Nutrition as well. That's not CBD based or THC based. It's terpene based. It's called Focus.
Yeah.
And what it's designed for is, it's a memory enhancer and a bronchial dilator. So when you take this product, you put a few drops of it on your tongue, and it's going to open up your lungs and the capillaries. So it's going to take you longer to hit that max point of physical exertion.
Okay.
Like when you're like,
yeah.
And you're like dogging it. And once you hit that point, it takes you longer to get there, but you're going to recover a lot quicker as well.
Right.
It's super interesting. That's been the most interesting product that we make.
Yeah.
To me, at least.
And it's noticeable, like, it's a noticeable difference.
Oh, very noticeable. I also have asthma too.
Yeah.
And doing some research about terpenes and stuff like that, there's certain terpenes, which some of them are in this product, that people who have asthma have used for decades instead of inhalers.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. I don't really use my inhaler much at all anymore.
Yeah. Dude, all these new things that come out now that are like made to help you sleep, made to help your physical, like, it's so crazy. Like, it just, I can't even imagine where it's going to be in 5.
No, I know. It's never ending.
Yeah. I mean, it just is a never ending rabbit hole, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Right.
I agree. You got to push the level of technology, and hopefully you do it in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, it's better than taking a shit ton of ibuprofen and making
your swelling go down. It's so bad for you.
It's so bad for you. Like, that shit eats away at you.
Correct.
You know? I mean, sometimes you need it for sure. Like, it definitely does something, and it's there for a purpose. Yeah, there's
days where I'll still have to take it. You know what I mean? When I get physically beat up, like, and I fall and stuff like that. But it's crazy to me that 99 times out of 100, I don't have to take any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, so what do you have going on upcoming? Obviously we have the US Open of Slope, but what do you have upcoming? What's going on soon?
So next week, I'll be in West Virginia. We're going to do another Dirt Fest down there, which is pretty awesome. So it'll be a big bike demo for people. And then we'll flip from there. I'll come home for about a day.
Sick.
And then I'll be off to Northfield, New Hampshire for the US Open of Slope Style. And we'll be there for 5 days. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to that one. But I don't have any activations in August.
Sick.
I pretty much made it a little bit slower because I've been going so hard since, I guess, the beginning of May.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to being home for a bit and riding some bikes with some friends and just kind of, digressing for a little bit and being here at the house.
Yeah.
So
you got a house to live in it, not to be away from it.
Yeah. It's rough being here like 6 or 8 days a month and being like, oh my God, I have so much to do in the short time that I'm here. I'm looking forward to August, and then Labor Day, we'll start up with some more activations and some brew fests and stuff like that. And then, before you know it, we'll be skiing and snowboarding.
I'm fucking psyched.
I mean, shit, Killington's 100 days out roughly from making snow.
That's so crazy.
Right?
I'm psyched. I'm ready for it to start tomorrow. I'm ready for it to start like next week.
I could go for two more weeks of summer.
Yeah.
And then I'm good.
Yeah. I think I'm like, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like I'm still like pale as shit. I haven't really fully experienced it. It's like, I need to like actually get outside and get some sun and like
get some time on the boat.
Chill. Yeah. On the beach, like that kind of stuff needs to happen first, but we'd squeeze that in a few days. If I know it's coming to an end and we're getting snow in, I'll figure it out, you know?
For sure.
So, well, cool. You got episode of the year last year, huh?
Yeah, stoked on it. I got the little trophy.
Finally
here,
got it to you.
So awesome.
So sick.
I can't thank all of you guys enough because, I mean, it was.
You got a grip
of votes,
man.
It was you
guys
voting out there. And,
yeah.
And I do appreciate it so much. And it definitely keeps me going and keeps me pushing harder every day. So thank you guys.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Definitely, dude.
Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find the companies you work for on social?
So my social media is @J_KNOX. You can follow us for MTB Parks on @MTB Parks on Instagram. Email, I guess, is JKNOX@MTBparks.com if you guys have any questions or anything like that. And feel free to shoot some messages or DMs, and I'd love to hear from you.
Beauty. All right, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Bye. And that was our episode with J-Nox. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find him on Instagram @J-Nox. I'll post all the info for him. It'll be in the show notes as well. His Instagram tag, his Facebook, all that stuff will be up there. Some of the brands he represents and some of the stuff he talked about, and hopefully some pertinent information. So be sure to follow him on social media. Also, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if you can. Leave us a review, leave us some feedback, and hopefully we'll keep growing this thing. It's been great so far. Summer usually is like not nearly as good for us, but it's been really good this year. So I'm happy with it, but to be honest, let's be real here. I'm super excited for winter. It's really all I can think about in these days of summer when it's super, super hot. But in the meantime, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, I guess. Thanks.